Okay, we are here. I am Mr. Petey Pete, and I'm very happy to have with me today Lorcan O'Reilly. And Lorcan, hello, good morning to you. Okay, there we go. How's that?
Awesome, yeah.
Okay, and Lorcan is new to the area recently, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Catskill, yeah.
And you said for how long?
6 months I've been in Catskill for. I live within walking distance of the library, which is pretty great.
I know, right? I live on Main Street myself. Yeah, I'm in within walking distance, too.
This is a nice way to start my Tuesday morning.
Yeah, right? Thank you. Thank you for stepping in.
And
you,
here.
Before that, you were at Poughkeepsie, you said?
Yeah, we were in Poughkeepsie for a little while.
And then before that, you...
It was Poughkeepsie. It was Hudson, Poughkeepsie. And then previous to that, I was in the UK.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. You said you were in the UK before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, I grew up in Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what brought you here?
I came over here when I was 18, and I finished high school, and took a year out, and was working at a Camp Hill community outside of Hudson, and they had an organic farm.
Oh, okay.
And I met a girl, and we got married. Yeah, yeah. And her father ran the farm.
Okay, well, and we had talked about writing a song about that.
Yeah.
what are some of your interests around here? I mean, what brought you? You're here, you're going to be playing some music for us, but I guess my question to you is, what is some of the history that you have with music? What brought you into music? What were some of your influences? And, I mean, how did you pick up the guitar? What made you come to where you are right now?
You know, I was always really infatuated by the guitar. I wasn't really allowed to listen to, like, when I was a kid, I was really into rock, as being a young kid, but I was kind of in somewhat of a strict household, and rock music wasn't allowed.
Really?
Yeah, and it was very sort of like 1950s view on rock and roll music, which of course piqued my interest hugely.
Right.
And that was kind of the beginning of it. My uncle, I've got family in London, and they're in the music world, and I'd be seeped in it when I'd go for Christmas and come home, and then I'd have none of it, and I became this obsession.
Right.
You know, and then, but no, my parents gave in, and I think I was like 16 and bought me a guitar.
Okay.
And I just kind of like locked myself in a room, I remember, for almost a whole summer, and just learned how to... four chord Bob Marley songbook.
Really? Oh, that's a sweet thing.
That was it, yeah. That's where it all started. But I don't play any Bob Marley anymore, but the guitar is still kept.
Do you think your music in any way has some roots from Scotland?
It definitely does. You know, I mean, rock and roll wasn't necessarily allowed, but we listened to a lot of Irish and Scottish folk music. That was like the main thing we were listening to as kids. And I enjoyed it at the time, but my interest was so not there, and it was so in rock and roll. It's funny, when I got a little older, I came over here when I was 18, and I couldn't bring my... I had a band at home, and a little high school band, and electric.
What was the name of the band?
We were called the Terrors.
Oh, really? Oh, right, the Little Terrors.
We were. But I couldn't bring my amp for electric, because I just kind of... I found an acoustic in the basement, and I kind of just re-immersed myself in some of the folk stuff I grew up listening to, and that's kind of been the trajectory that I've kept on since then.
Now, when you say rock, what were the... I mean, there's different facets of rock,
sure,
but
sure.
What would you say was your big influence, at least coming into music, that really piqued your interest in the rock scene?
It was the band Thin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
so
yes.
My family, you know...
Well, that makes sense.
Irish-Scottish family.
Yes, that totally makes sense.
Thin Lizzy were a big one. Rory Gallagher was a big one. But no, Thin Lizzy, the Live and Dangerous DVD they released in 77 was just like... That was the golden crown for me for a long time, you know.
He did die too young, that's for sure.
He did, yeah. That whole band kind of...
And they're still going too, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Scott Gorham is the Californian guy who was in the band, the Californian guitar player. I think he's the only member, maybe the drummer, maybe... I forget his name. But
I actually thought they cut an album a few years back.
No way.
Yeah.
Really, that's so funny. I know that Brian Robertson was... Scottish guitar player. He was kind of the guy I always liked the most, but he's kind of ended up... I googled him the other day. He has a record label in Sweden, but he's pretty washed out.
Right.
I'm not really sure how much they're doing, but he was a guitar player I really admired, and in fact I still just, yeah, his dexterity is just amazing.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
What about, have you seen many musical acts play or as far as like seeing live shows? Being over, you know, you said you went to London for Christmas those times.
And you mean back in the UK?
Yeah.
Sure.
Or even here, too.
Yeah, I find myself at the moment, I'm at shows all, it's like, I feel like I've been recording a record this year, and between going to the studio and playing shows and going to shows, it's kind of been all my free time. But back then, you know, as I said, my uncle was in the music business in London, and he used to get free tickets for pretty much whatever we wanted. And
really?
So I went down one time. In fact, the first show I ever went to, I was 15, and I tugged at my parents' sleeve forever to let me go down. But I went down to London and went to the Royal Albert Hall and saw Opeth, which is like a Swedish black.
Yes, I have heard of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Opeth was the first one. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, that must have been a great venue to see, too.
It was wild, yeah. You know, I feel like most of my, you know, I grew up in Scotland, but I feel like I've had a lot more experiences here now, you know. I feel like this is kind of home now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it should be. You are playing, I wanted to segue that into that too, but you're playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that that's about?
I'm playing at Hilo with Matthew O'Neill. He's mm-hmm. a really great guitar player and songwriter. We're playing Friday, yeah. I'm sure people who listen to this station are aware of Hilo at this point.
Yeah, right.
Reputation is going before it.
There are some good musicians that come through there, too, and it'll be a great venue. I don't know if you've played there before, but it's a really... It is a nice venue to play at. It's very intimate, but you've been there before.
I've seen shows there. It's great. I'm excited to finally play a show in my new hometown.
So do you have family here too, or is it you by yourself and your wife?
Just me and Iona. I mean, her family are here, but none of my direct family are here.
Iona,
yeah.
I know when you came in you were just talking about Iona, I had pretty much shut you up because you were constantly talking about her, saying good things about her and stuff like that, but just so you know, Iona. But anyways, what do we got? I want you to play a little song and we can come back and talk some more. But
sure.
What you want to tell us about this? What you're going to be playing us?
This first song I want to play is not off my upcoming record. It's newer than that. I just wrote it.
Okay.
You know what? I feel like this song needs not so much of an introduction. I feel like it's quite self-explanatory.
Perfect.
So I'm going to leave you to it.
To my own interpretation. Cool.
I fell asleep next to the phone. I love her more than I let her know. I love her more than I let her know. Getting out in a year. He lived with my grandma out on the coast. At least that is what his lawyers have proposed. He's been locked up for most of my life. He murdered a child back in 1999. And soon he'll transition to a halfway house. We're all coming to terms with him getting out. And I think about his son. He is my cousin. Well, I love him to death, but I don't see him often. Well, I love him to death, but I don't see him often.
Okay, so that was about animal rescue. No, Larkin, that was amazing. I mean, anybody that knows me knows that music means so much to me, and that really was a great song. You are very talented. That was excellent, and I'm not just saying that. I can say that to just people that come in, but that was a seriously good song.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I appreciate that. So what do you get your inspiration from when you're writing a song? Is it... Because I hear about songs can come, are difficult at times for artists, but at times songs just flow through you. It's almost if you get like touched by God, that gives you a sign of like a channel to able to grasp something that enables you to parlay out, you know, what you're feeling in your vocals and all that. And as well as it sounded, I don't know, you were referencing names. I don't know if that was from anything, from experience from you or anything like that, but where would you say that you get your inspiration from songs?
That's a good question. I feel like it's, you know, I think every song is really me to an extent, you know.
You mean as far as what your life is concerned about and what you're feeling and your thoughts at that moment?
Right. But I think that when you said, you know, sometimes you get that moment where it all comes to you at once, that's happened to me twice, and I feel like my whole writing experience so far has been chasing those two moments.
Yeah.
That happened. It happened once. I wrote a song and I the whole thing came. And then another time, I hit record on my iPhone and I sang it and I played it almost entirely through with the lyrics. It was
really, that's an amazing feeling really too, bizarre. Isn't it? When you're able to get all that out like that.
It was an amazing feeling. And it didn't happen again for like 2 years, and then it happened again.
But you find, though, that you're really chasing?
Totally. Yeah. And sometimes you can be disheartened and it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen very often. It's happened twice to me.
Do you find that some of your songs, too, are in segments where you, I forget the name of the movie, but you're writing, you're constantly writing, and you're writing, so it's like fragments that are kind of parceled together that create a song of feelings or thoughts?
Yeah. And then you can tie those segments together sometimes. Sometimes there's a thread. Yeah, you know, I think that the trick for writing for me is just trying to constantly write. You know, trying to write a good song, you're never going to write a good song. It's trying to write like a quick, trying to write as many songs as you can, and try like 2 a week, you know? Yeah. If one is a keeper, then great, but it probably won't be, you know? You might have four, you might have one as a keeper, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's been my method for the last year or so, and I found that to work a lot better for me. I'm still figuring this out, but you know, I've not even released my first record yet, but it's coming.
Well, you, when you write and you play guitar, did you start at the same time, or did you, you didn't by chance start writing before you played guitar?
No.
Were we ever into anything like that?
No, or? Not really, you know. I mean, I always loved, yeah, no, it was guitar was the main thing, you know. Guitar's always been, was that, you know, I wanted to be an elite guitar player when I was a teenager, and that was kind of where it all started. Writing came later. And singing came later. But now, at this point, I spend a lot more time thinking about writing mm-hmm. than I do guitar. The guitar is something I...
That kind of keeps the writing going.
Yeah, I kind of get a palette. I get a taste of the palette. And then it's the writing, which will take me a long time to figure out.
What about your vocals as far as... Have you ever had vocal training? Because you have a great voice. I mean, you're very much in tune.
Mm. No, I never had any vocal training.
Really?
No, I just kind of figuring out. When I first started... playing guitar and singing, I busked for like a year around Europe and here too, busking on the subways in different cities, and that was really...
And busking is where you play guitar and you have your guitar case out.
Right. Look for the... So when I was like 19, I did that for about a year, and that was really instrumental, I think, in learning like what worked for me, because you didn't get paid if it didn't work.
Really? Yeah, right. Yeah. It's very fundamental. It's a very good foundation, I think, to really do it from the heart like that, as far as being on the street and being in it.
Yeah, it was. It's amazing, and it's rough at the same time. I met a lot of great people, but
where if you turn your head, somebody grabs all your money and runs.
Yeah, I had a guy do that in Amsterdam. Actually,
really?
He took out some euros from my case and threw them in the canal.
Oh, brutal! No, I've been to Amsterdam before. That would be amazing. The canals out there.
That's amazing. Yeah,
and the shops and the art museums.
Mm. No, totally. Yeah, I played a couple of shows out there. It was really fun. Yeah.
But when you find yourself around here and you are married,
mm-hmm.
What else do you do out above and beyond playing music? What interests your peaks or piques your interest?
What piques my interest? You know, it's not I'm not going to say not much because I sound too single track minded, but honestly.
You really focus
but it's
on
pretty
your
much,
music.
This has been like, you know, I've been recording a record with Lee Falco down in Marlboro.
Okay.
We were working on it since January.
Doesn't Marlboro have a really cool jazz club down there?
The Falcon.
Oh, there you go. That's what I meant to
Lee,
say.
Lee's dad owns the Falcon.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing there actually soon too on the 8th of March.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, Lee and I have been pretty submerged in making this record. It's been just on the burner for a year, and that's been kind of all my free time. Mm-hmm. Has been focused on doing that. We actually finished it. We finished the last mixes on Sunday, so it's going to be out pretty soon.
Okay.
We're sending it to record labels at the moment. Yeah.
And I bet you learned a lot about the mixing and the producing and doing all that that you didn't know so much before.
Yeah, or? it's been a good learning experience. I did an EP with Kenny, an old soul, before, so I had some experience. But I've definitely learned a lot. I think learn how to streamline the process has been the biggest lesson I've taken away, you know, for the next record. Hopefully it won't take a year.
Well, that's, yeah. Do you like playing as a solo, or do you, I guess there's both for both sides, but what to you was the difference? Because you had mentioned that you were in a band before when you first started out.
Mm.
The Terrors, was that the name of the band, right?
I can't believe I said that.
what do you find the differences for you between the being in a band and being cohesive with a bunch of players
solo? And... It's just so much easier to play on your own, you know. There's no organization. It's just like, as long as you have your guitar and a spare set of strings, you know, and gas in the tank, you're good. And I love that. I really love that. On the flip side of that, sometimes when some rooms you play... Like, I've played the Half Moon Hudson a couple of times, and the Colony I'm playing soon. And sometimes those rooms do, you know, having a drummer, or I've played with a cello player before. Sometimes that's really lends a hand. And I would like to set up a couple of shows with some... It gets tiresome sometimes on your own, you know. It's kind of driving to New York on your own and then, like, leaving on your own. It's kind of lonely.
Yeah, right. And sometimes the audience doesn't show up like you want them to, but that always happens at the beginning, and you always hope for... growth and knowledge, you know, people more of a bigger following. And I've known that there are certain musicians that I've seen, and even here locally, well, they'll be playing and they'll be playing a certain song that's really emotional to them or that means a lot to them. And there's people out at the bar or whatever, talking really loud.
Yeah, totally.
And the artist gets so upset. And I don't blame them.
No, it's hard.
And they actually stop and just say, you know, this song means a lot to me.
Oh, really?
I would appreciate if you guys would just shut up and let them play. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times, when you're playing, you want to be heard. You want people to listen.
Totally.
You want people to get the full fulfillment of it. And sometimes that's ignored. And I can totally understand what the artist feels like.
You need, being a solo artist, you need to choose the rooms you play in wisely.
Yeah.
Because it can be a waste of time. You know, those shaking cocktails drive you insane.
Right.
It's really, you know, I have a drum box when I play with my foot, and I just having that sort of like beat, it's like a primal rhythm going on. It actually hushes people up a lot, and I find that really helps. So sometimes if a crowd I feel like is getting
too rowdy,
if it's getting loud at the back, you know, I'll play with the beat and it does kind of draw everyone's attention for a second, and I can sometimes try and swing it back, but it's an uphill, you know, it's painting a fence in the wind.
Yeah,
you know.
No, that's what I wanted to bring up, though. Yeah, I totally can understand where that's coming from. So why don't we place another tune?
Yeah.
And we'll go with that.
Okay.
You want to tell us anything about this, or is it pretty much just...
I'm going to tune my guitar real quick. I'll tell you about it. I was working last year at Baxter, which is a commercial construction company in Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
And this song was kind of about the foreman on the job site. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Okay. So there's a lot of love there.
No, he was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Okay.
I'll give that much away. No, it was more...
You don't have to say anything.
I'm going to let the song say for itself, but
good.
I'm going to tune up real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's let it go.
Days cooled down, firewood piled high under tarps tied down, heavy stones in the ground as the days cooled down. And in the yard and the leaves play around the tables I've made, and the children gather sticks for it to build out in the thick. As the days cool down, mother calls the ravens three, while temptation, doubt, and greed, and with heavy hearts they sing. Hear harmony begin as the days cool down. And if I turn, I'll come untied. Says he feels the dead I'm in. Says he'll work me till the end when my days cool down. So I strap the handles down and throw my weight behind the plow. Heaven knows my path is set. See the fields bend and stretch as the day. Cool down as the days cool down, firewood piled high under tarps tied down, heavy stones in the ground as the days cool down.
All right. So that was about your foreman. He had a gambling problem. Well, no, that wasn't my interpretation. You know, you have a quality of serenity with your songs that's amazing, and I really feel that. Not a lot of people can achieve that, but there is a real quality of serenity.
Oh, thank you.
with your music, and I think that's a good quality to have.
Yeah, thank you. It doesn't mix well with cocktails being shaken.
No, it can be, though. That could be, like, totally set the ambiance of the venue. But that was a good song. What was the name? Do you have a name for that?
Yeah, that song's called When the Days Cool Down. That's going to be on the upcoming record.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the record, what brought this together, and when it's going to be coming out, and the whole deal.
Well, it started, it started in January. I met Lee's a drummer, I don't know if you know him, Connor Kennedy and Brandon and Will. They play as a package sometimes. Well, Connor's doing his own thing now, but yeah, I saw Lee play a show in Beacon. We got talking, and he was like, come over to my studio. At some point, we were, I don't know, two guys the same age doing music in the area. So I went over and we just recorded like three songs in a night and then decided that we were going to meet up again and talk about making a record. Because at the time I had no money and I had like four songs. But I really wanted to record, but financially couldn't swing it. So Lee agreed to do the record for free, but to produce it, which was amazing. So we've become really close and worked really hard together, and it's been like a real effort of love on his part and mine, which has been amazing. So that's how it kind of began, and it kind of changed, and I was still writing as we were going. So I think we were cutting down the tracks. We have like 17 songs, I think, all together, and different versions of songs, but we've kind of whittled it down to 11 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is for my curiosity. Mm. When you're recording a song, do you find that you have to record, you have to do it again and again and again, and just to perfect it, or how many takes do you figure as a song does it take to lay one down?
I think after take four or five, if you don't have it, you probably won't get it.
Okay.
That said, sometimes it depends. I don't know. I find that my vocal take it. I prefer to record vocal and guitar at the same time. That can be tricky. You don't have so much control. So sometimes...
You mean the vocal with the guitar?
I'll play guitar and sing at the same time. Like to do that. Okay. Yeah, I like to do that. You can do it separately.
Yeah.
I feel like you lose something a little bit. But sometimes it takes a minute for your voice to warm up. But we try to do it in less than five.
So it's basically how well you know the song and how well you practice it.
You've ingrained it in yourself.
And you're able to transpose it out.
I think an important thing is listening back. I think if you can record a song four or five times and listen to every take, sit back and listen to every take, you maybe didn't realize at the time, but one of them was going to be the one.
Right.
Yeah.
And the producing, that would be basically be working the board and figuring out, do you have
engineering too? Yeah.
Yeah. You deal with that aspect of it that much?
I've been picking up little bits of information and helping out where I can.
For future reference. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But Lee was really the guy behind that. And then also, we worked on instrumentation and together, and he knows a lot of musicians down that way, so we got some guys in to come and
really
play on tracks as well. Yeah,
you're pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I've been blessed. Yeah,
but and you say it was his studio, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody spots somebody that does have talent or does have that it, I think that's what music is about.
Mm.
I mean, him helping you out in this respect, that's what kind of keeps it all going
around.
It's
been amazing. Yeah. I know. I don't know what I would not have a record that I'd have if it wasn't for that. Yeah. I certainly couldn't have paid for a studio for a year.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I could barely swing 2 days.
So let's go on with that. Then you said the record's supposed to be coming out.
Well, at the moment we have it finished and we have it all mixed. We're sending it out to record labels. My manager's sending that. The next 2 months, we're going to see if any labels will be interested in releasing it. But we'll see what's said. And if nothing comes back, then I'm figuring April.
Okay.
Will be the release. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How does that go about too? What do you send it to New York City and LA or what?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the record.
And I'm just asking these questions because I
have,
don't know.
Okay.
And I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm learning too as I go, but we have a long list, a lot of indie labels scattered around the country, some in the UK too. But we're basically sending a private website page. They have a password too, and it's three tracks on it and a little blurb about me.
Okay.
Yeah. and contact information and if they'd be interested.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a digital format, which is nice. You don't have to send CDs out anymore.
Yeah, that's true. So do you want to play us another little tunage? And do you have another song you want to play?
Sure. Sure.
And we'll go with that. And Larkin.
Yes.
Thank you. This is really entertaining, and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, so thank you so much for having me. It's great to come play at the public library next to my house.
True.
Silence and the whispers in your head. I'm the air you'll never breathe. I'm the coming of the seasons. I'm the book you break and even. I'm a stonewall believer. And I am the peppered welcome sign. I am the town most left. I am the winter setting sun, the frost that grips all it's become. And I reside where the wild things roam. Hit my back another, I've come to carry you in my storm. Hit my back another, I carry you in my storm. Of ocean, I'm a desert storm blowing. And I am the few who care to help, and I am the rest who help themselves. And I am the winter setting sun, the frost that grips all it's become. And I reside where the wild things roam. Back another, I've come to carry you in my storm. Hit my back another, I carry you in my storm.
Thank you, Larkin. That was great again. Once again, another great song. I appreciate you showing up here and learning about you. And you want to tell the people again, you're going to be playing Friday.
Friday at Hilo with Matthew O'Neill.
Matthew O'Neill.
8 o'clock. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah. Yep. And everybody, the Hilo's on Main Street in Catskill, New York. I hope to have you in here again. And you said your album, if all goes right, will be coming out next month.
April.
In April, I'm sorry.
That's right.
The April. Following month.
It's the following month. But maybe the beginning of April.
Yes, there we go. So, okay, well, thank you. And I'm going to be playing a little music, and then we got some news coming up to close out the hour. But thank you, Lurkin, for showing up.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Is there a website or anything that they can visit of yours?
Sure. My website is lurkinoreilly.com.
Okay.
And Lurkin is L-O-R-K-I-N.
L-O-R-K-I-N, O'Reilly.com.
That's right.
Okay.